All right, welcome back to the Homeschool Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I never answered your question before we started the podcast. You were like, what's this podcast about? And we were just like, fucking porn. And then we just went off on the thing. yeah, bro, this podcast is about fucking just, it's a comedy podcast, but we're not trying to be funny. We're just serious. We have, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Everything you were just talking about before the podcast started is perfectly fine with me.
And just, you'll never hear any of it.
You guys will never hear any of it. All right, One, you guys, done. This episode is brought to you by Masterclass. That's right, you guys. Click the link in the description. Copy and paste it. Do whatever you got to do. That's where it is. The link's in the description. It's Masterclass. You can take a comedy class, a writing class, I mean, acting, directing, filmmaking, whatever it is. They have everything on there. Just click the link in the description. You can take each class. It's about $90 per class, or you can do the 180, and you can take as many classes as you want, and you have access to the whole site for 1 year for 180. Seems like a no-brainer. I think that it's a great holiday gift, and someone asks you what you want, that's what you want right there. These classes that you've been wanting to take, you don't have time, you don't have money, you know, that's the perfect thing about Masterclass. You can do it on your own time, in the comfort of your own home, and at a reasonable price. So click the link in the description to support the Homeschool Podcast. Also, this episode is brought to you by Blowfish. That's right, you guys. It's the FDA recognized hangover remedy.
I actually saw Blowfish at the supermarket today.
I started seeing it at the supermarket today.
I almost took a picture of it and sent it to you.
I started seeing it at the supermarket today too, but like the little, like, on the go ones, you know what I mean? Like, take this.
Watch out, Pedialyte.
Yeah,
you know, Blowfish is on your tail.
Yeah, there's Pedialyte, and then there's a couple others that you can take. But this shit is the real deal, you guys. You take it the next morning if you're not feeling great, if you're feeling hungover, and just gets you through your day. I've been using it, and it fucking just saved my life a couple times already. So go to 4hangovers.com and use promo code HOME to get to get 15% off and get your whole little batch of them. Don't just pick up those two at the store. Get the batch, because sometimes you're not planning on being hungover. It just fucking happens. So have that shit in the house. And
I'm sold.
Yeah, dude. And it's fucking great. Like you, those days when you're just feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I drank too much last night, or I was up too late last night. If you don't drink, it's great. People use it as an energy drink, or if you get really bad migraines. It's called Blowfish, guys, and you can get it at 4hangovers.com. Use promo code HOME to get 15% off. I got Isaac Allen here as our guest today.
Hello.
Good to have you, buddy. And Kevin Lyons is here.
Hey, everybody. What's up, Isaac?
What up, Kev?
How's it going, man?
Do I know you well enough to call you Kev?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, that's
I don't like it. I'm going back to Kevin. I
feel like the real Kev Lyons. That's Kev Lyons. Wouldn't they call you Lionheart?
The American Lionheart.
The American Lionheart.
One of the reviewers said that about us. One of the podcasts was called
American Lionheart.
When I look at him in his backwards cap, Lionheart sounds like the company he owns. Like, like he's the CEO of Lionheart.
I am the CEO of Lionheart, you know, Industries.
And I'm the youngest CEO to ever live in North Hollywood, man. I'm just like out here. Rolling in it, you know.
That's Kevin. We're getting some podcasts in before Kevin has to leave town for the holidays.
That's
I'm
right.
Glad you're here, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Where are you going?
Boston.
Is that where you're from?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's my ex-girlfriend's from Boston.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The one I just broke up with.
Yeah. We're not all like her. It's okay.
No, that's true. This is true.
But I'm glad you're here, Kevin.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad you're here, Isaac. It's the Homeschool Podcast. We're starting.
So bummed out I can't hear the music.
You're bummed out?
Yeah.
We need some headphones, dude.
Yeah, we need to get the splitters. Good headphones.
I love splitters.
Cool.
I feel like I'm back in the Midwest here. It's so weird.
In my dungeon garage.
Yeah, man. Boarded up windows.
Do you feel like we're in my basement?
Yeah. That's what I feel.
Feels like that 70 show basement.
Yeah. But like, even more poorly lit.
Yeah.
I try to be good about writing on the fake chalkboard of who the podcast guests are, and I forgot to write yours today. But if you see the last one was Stephen Randolph.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Fuck yeah, a little life is a highway going on here. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. Isaac, so we were talking before the podcast about just like how times have changed and stuff. So I how the improv has kind of changed a little bit, and so you just came from over there, and you're talking about you remember when Jeremy Scipio was like, would just be like, oh dude, let me throw you up and shit like that, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, my first open mic ever was at the Improv. They were still doing the Tuesday 5 o'clock signups. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, they did that until like a year ago, right? Or if that.
Are they not? What do you mean they did? They don't do it anymore?
It's 5:45 now.
So it's been 5 o'clock, and you'd go down there to sign up. Fucking everybody would sign up, mm-hmm. bro. It would be fucking probably 200 people, and then they would only pick 10 to 15. And I don't know if that's still how they do it. And let me fix my mic here really quick. So, my first open mic ever was there. And I couldn't tell you who the host was that day. I don't remember. But I remember that.
It was Jamie Kennedy.
But you know who was like running it back then? Like Yasser Lester would host it a lot.
Oh,
back
Yasser,
then.
Yeah.
I think he was working there when I started.
That's funny.
Gerard Carmichael was at my first open mic.
Signing
up on that paper with me.
Really?
Melissa Villasenor.
Jesus.
And
how long have you been doing comedy?
10 years.
No shit.
10 years. And, bro, fucking everybody, dude. Like,
that's crazy.
Josh Adam Myers and Angela Bowers were like there. All of us sitting there waiting to put our name on the list.
Dude, they're like, I've never heard anyone sound more upset about anyone passing than Josh does about Angelo.
Yeah.
And I've never seen him. And everyone tells me
he's the
biggest fucking crusher. I think he was dead by the time when did he die?
I couldn't tell you. It was a long time ago.
I never knew him before that. And I moved up here and he'd already been dead for a while. So
it's probably been at least like 5 or 6 years, I'd say.
Yeah. He's on the wall at the store, right? I think.
Is he?
I didn't know that.
I don't know.
What I heard, he should be.
Yeah, great comic, great dude, really sweet guy. I wasn't like best friends with him or anything. Like, it's not like we hung out on the weekends or anything. But I knew that him and Josh are best friends, and I was good friends with Josh.
Yeah, I love Josh, dude.
Yeah, yeah, great guy.
He was talking about wanting to run the goddamn comedy jam, doing it in clubs the way he's been doing. But like, he was like, I want to get like lesser known comics on it, and he knows I'm a sick drummer.
Oh, okay,
and I
cool.
can sing and play guitar and like da da da. And I was just like, dude, I would love to do something like that. And he pointed at me, he goes, that's the reaction I want. Because I was like almost hopping up and down in the parking lot at the comedy store.
Yeah.
I was just like, God, I want to do that. And he was like, that's the excitement I want back into this show. Like, gotcha. It doesn't have that same excitement.
That fucking hunger, dude.
And just like to be like, to go back. Because a lot of these comedians that do that show, where it's, you know, if you don't know out there, the goddamn comedy jam is where they mix comedy and music. So like usually a comic will go up, tell a story. Or some jokes in their act or whatever, but about music and like how it affects their lives. And then they'll play a song or sing a song with other, and they'll dress up like the Axl Rose or whoever the fuck they are.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of the comics, they want to do it because they either used to be musicians or always dreamed of being musicians,
right,
or both.
Right.
So then they just get to like go back in time in their heads and be like more interesting in that way.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. Bird does it a lot because he's a drummer. So Bird's always on that show.
And him and Josh are like tight.
Right,
too now. But yeah, I love your workspace, by the way. It made me feel a lot like I was back in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's like half lit cellar with a chalkboard.
You're originally from the Midwest?
I'm from Indiana. Okay. Yeah. Like all we're missing right now is just like 8 different 6-packs of Keystone Light. Just tall boy Keystone Lights and a beer pong table, and everybody's
a beer would be good right now.
Yeah,
right. Fuck.
And the wine, except the two chicks you're playing against have like wine in theirs.
I got some Jack Daniels liquor behind you if you want.
Oh my god, but I'm trying not to drink today, but I think I'm gonna fail at that because whiskey, that's like my shit.
Really, Jack
Jameson?
Daniels?
Are you kidding? I'm half Irish.
Oh, Jameson's,
Irish.
I think is empty.
Yeah,
is Jack Daniels?
Oh, but Jack Daniels, that's fine too. The Tennessee whiskey is close enough.
Do you smoke?
Yeah.
You want to hit that?
No, because I'm going to, well, fucking, I don't know. I kind of do want to hit that.
Because you're going to drive, right?
Yeah, but I also don't, I don't know how interesting I'll be. Sometimes I'm really interesting when I'm high, and sometimes I'm just sitting here like,
where's
this fucking microphone in front of me,
and you
bro?
Might as well, you might as well do it now to give yourself time before you drive. Like, just you can
That's
take
true.
One hit.
And you know what? I'm not going to go to Westside tonight.
You don't
I
think
decided.
So? You just
no.
decided?
Dude, I got off the road from
He's smoking. He's not going.
Listen,
go
I got
on.
Is this Sativa?
I got some Keystone Light coming.
Bro, that's, I don't even know
Postmates,
what that is.
You Postmates right. some Keystone.
That's homegrown. Like, we'll figure out what it is. We'll figure it out. Let me know how it makes you feel, and then we'll figure it out.
All
right. Pass that to Kevin, actually.
But, yeah, I just got off the road, and, like, as much as a comic you want to get on stage, I was talking about this with some other comics today, like, you need to hustle, you need to get on stage, and you need to have the desire. But, like, especially when you live in a city like New York City or L.A., Chicago, like, you need a minute sometimes to just take a night or two to yourself and go, fucking decompress.
Oh, yeah,
already.
Man.
Like, I just got off the road in Seattle doing the competition, which you have to pay your own way. And the locations, like, there's two locations in Seattle, and the other ones are all, like, 1.5 to 2 hours outside of Seattle in mountain areas with old, rich, white folk. So, like, my humor just doesn't, like, the people who moved on were, like, road dogs or local guys. Those are the people that moved on.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, and as much as I kind of fancy myself a road comic and I like being that way, my humor is still very esoteric for those people. So it's like they get it and they like it, but they don't like it as much as like the silly white kid doing impressions and
oh, really?
Voices and stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially when you get to those theaters and Whidbey. Do you guys even know what that is?
No.
It's like Auburn, Washington, and like...
There's certain parts of this country that you'll go to, brother, that you figure out that like they just want like that cruise ship comic that's dude, just gonna...
The
you
kind
know.
Of people that lived where we performed, that was the diner I went to, that was like where they shot Twin Peaks.
Okay.
That's how weird this town is.
That's funny, man.
Yeah, and sometimes I get those gigs, bro, where you gotta, you know, do those type of rooms, and like I do find them because like all I have to do is just like not curse sometimes, and I have like, for the most part, I'm kind of clean, you know. And,
me too.
Yeah, like, and I just and take the curse words out.
I did great all weekend. I almost hit top five, but and not the people who got top five are fucking hilarious, but it was just like when you see yourself. Start off well in one of those things. The competitions get in your head.
Yeah.
Is if you view them as competitions, you're viewing them the wrong way, which I didn't, but I still wanted to know where I stood. And it's like, I would crush and then they'd be in like the middle. And then like, I'd crush and I'd be like top five. And then the next show I'd crush and be like in the middle again. And I'm like, I just don't know what these, and I found out it was one judge. There was like three competitions. The last three nights where one judge had me like middling out of three judge and the other two had me high. And that's what kept pulling my score down. And it was just, but, and to say pulling my score down to, that has to do with stand-up comedy is such a dumb sentence.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's such a subjective thing.
Right.
But they tell you that at the beginning. They're like, the guy who runs it is like, he's great. And he's like, look, this is subjective. This isn't fair. That's what he came out saying. He goes, I just want you guys to know, this is not fair. And I was like, I'm so happy he said that because it makes it all, you feel better at the end when you don't move on.
It's so true. Like, comedy is just so subjective and the competitions are so tough with that. Who did we have on though? Oh, dude. Remember Samuel Bade when we had Samuel Bade
on?
And he was telling me about his last comic standing and like, what's her name? Wanda Sykes told him something.
Oh, yeah. What did she say?
I forget, but you'd have to go. But it was just so funny. She's like, competitions are. And then I think he told her off or something about as far as like she's not funny either or something like that, you know?
Oh, really?
Like something. I'm
wait, so she was shitting on him for something?
Yeah, she told him that, like, she didn't like his set and like just critiquing him. And it was all like stuff that, like, I forget exactly what he was saying, but he was.
She wanted him to go on like a different angle.
Yeah, and he was. And bottom line is, like, he was just kind of letting her know, like, I get on stage like every fucking night, like a professional comic. I was like, when's the last time you've been on stage? And like, you're not fucking.
Yeah, like, that's hilarious.
Jokes, yeah. Huh?
I think you're saying my jokes work. I go up on stage every single night.
Something like, anyway, yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah. Those
but that is funny.
Things.
But that's how out of touch Wanda kind of is then at that point. Because she used to be one of the funniest. And I don't know what she is now, but like, or what she's considered. But to get, that's the one critique that shows how out of it she is that you should take a different angle. And it's like, that's the one thing that makes a comic unique. Even if you talk about the same subject matter, men and women, relationships, whatever the fuck, and you had the same delivery, da, 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 the thing that's always going to make you unique is your angle on it. Look at Bill Burr. He's got his own style of delivery, but he is like very much a Boston guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's a Northeast guy. He fits into that category. But his take, and he talks about men and women and his dog sometimes that he used to have, and now his kid. Like, shit that every comic and their mother talks about, but his angle on it is what makes him Bill Burr.
Exactly, man. Yeah. That's why I hate those fucking competitions. It's like...
Yeah.
When you...
I just do them to get recognition. Like, now the guy who's... I've done the underground before, but the guy didn't really remember me, and then I went and I placed second on that night.
Don't get me wrong.
And now he's... I'm like, I can go back there. I can have a place to stay in Spokane when I go do Jokers. Or something, you know what I mean? So
these competitions that you're doing, I mean, I don't have a problem with that because you're basically making connections and getting people to know you. And then, like, sometimes you get money, or sometimes it's like you just meet connections. And then before you know it, you'll start doing the festivals in their town and stuff like that. It's just good. But no, like the TV ones, like, think about like the TV competitions. It's the whole thing is fucking a has-been comic judging.
Yeah, exactly.
We're calling them new comics who are in the competition, but they're not new comics.
No.
They're unheard of comics.
No.
Who are like currently working.
Yeah.
So you're having like current working comics being judged by has been comics who haven't been on stage in like 40 years.
Lachlan Patterson, when he's one of the, you know, Lachlan.
I know that.
He was on Last Comic Standing. He's so fucking funny. Sweetest dude ever. He looks like if Jesus was a caveman. He's really tall, good looking, has the Jesus hair, Jesus look, but he's like got the strong jawline and like this wider frame. But he is really fucking funny. And he was like, he did Last Comic Standing and got critiqued hard by one judge. Like, and like telling him that he shouldn't be funny. He shouldn't be doing comedy. He should be modeling instead and shit like that. And guess who the judge was?
Who was that?
Ant.
Oh, that guy.
Like, talk about an out of
the guy who was work, on Last like, Comic Standing for, like, season one and then hasn't done anything since.
Yeah, and he is critiquing lack. And again, I have no idea. I don't know Ant's comedy that well, but it's just, like, he was a has-been at that point.
Yeah.
I think. This was, like, a few years ago, like, a couple years ago.
Well, you know, I had heard a rumor about Last Comic Standing, like, season one. I don't know how true it is, that all of the producers were agents, and they would always make sure that their clients were advancing to the next round.
That's
and
still the way shit is.
The finalists ended up being their clients.
Yeah.
I think Dat Fan was their client, and Ant was their client. And and I don't know about Ralphie May, because Ralphie May got to second place, I think, because more like the America voted him through. And
yeah.
It's crazy to me that he didn't win.
It's almost better to get second in those things is what I've heard.
Right. Those are the guys that always, that
yeah.
you know, fucking make it. Look
you know,
at Clay Aiken.
Or
did he win? I don't know. I don't remember.
No, he didn't. Ruben Studdard won that
Ruben
one.
Studdard, no one knows who the fuck that guy is. But
like
Clay Aiken's the one who's famous.
I just said Ruben Studdard, and you were like, that's right. Like, I could see your eyes register.
I had forgotten about him until you just said it.
That's so funny.
He did like one, his first album was like Christian, and then they were like, yeah, we gave it to the wrong guy. His first album was like a holiday Christian.
And he had a great voice, too. That was
so funny. He did.
How gay is that guy? Like, really?
Clay Aiken?
Yeah. Is he still in the closet? I don't even know.
No, he's out.
He's out?
He's out. Man. Out.
Has to be.
How obvious was it? It's like, it's so funny when you watch certain gay people try and hide their gay and how bad of a job they do.
Because it's like, why hide it? I'm like,
yeah,
it's 2018. You don't
right know. Now it's like, why hide it? What was the year, do you think, when like people could just finally go like, coming out of the closet isn't a big idea or a big deal anymore?
I think that's 20, a pretty recent one.
2016?
Yeah, like that's really, I say in the last 2 years.
The last
because
2 years.
Even before that, I mean, people were coming out of the closet and feeling okay about it, but they were making it a huge deal.
Like
about
Ellen,
it.
Like remember when she had that show and then she made the whole episode.
I don't
about
remember
her coming
that.
Out. You don't remember that?
I think that I've always thought.
I
she
remember
was
that.
Gay.
Remember
show.
When she had that show?
Yeah,
she's always been a lesbian to me. I don't remember
yeah,
her
same,
not being
same.
A lesbian.
I don't remember her not being a lesbian.
I don't think
I don't
I
remember
her
a
to
pre-pussy
it.
Looking gay of Ellen DeGeneres' life.
Have you ever seen her stand-up sets when she, from like the 80s? She was wearing suits. Did you not figure it out that she was? Fucking
did she still?
Gay?
Have, did she have short hair or was it longer back then?
It was like a guy's mullet.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It's like, oh really? You're gay?
So funny.
So anyway, yeah. So you're from sorry, I just smoked that.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's affecting me. Actually, this is about to go off the rails because I'm gonna grab the whiskey.
Too. Okay, grab it. Well, don't forget you have to drive soon, and we're not doing that long of a podcast. I'm not
I'm a what do you call it? A
go ahead. Take
I'm
it out
an
of the
alcoholic. I'm like a What's before alcoholic?
Social drinker.
Denial.
That's what I am. It's above social drinker and below alcoholic is fucking.
Well, if you want it, just take it out of the bottle, or there's a cup over there. Just take it out of the bottle if you want.
You sure? I don't want to be unsanitary.
I don't give a shit.
It's whiskey.
I'll probably do a shot right after you. Yeah.
I love that argument from people. It makes me laugh. So, like, I love drunken and stoned arguments.
Yeah.
Because I remember one time I was smoking weed, or I was about to smoke some weed, and I thought, I was like, I don't know if I should do this right now. And my buddy is this, like, black thug from fucking Flint, Michigan, right? And I'm just in Michigan. And about to smoke, and I'm like, dude, I'm kind of sick. And I know he was like, man, you just hit this, and like, it just like the smoke would like flush out all the germs and the toxins, man. It'll clean your system out. And the way he said it, I was like, all right, yeah, I'll hit this shit. And knowing scientifically, that's the most retarded thing anyone's ever said in their life.
It's gonna burn away all the germs.
Right. It's gonna, the smoke just gonna clear it out. Smoke clearing something out? What the fuck?
Oh yeah, but that's alcohol. It will kill. It will kill some germs.
Yeah, it will.
Creating others.
So you're from Indiana, and then I actually think I met you first in La Jolla.
Oh.
Because you were working at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, right?
Yes.
I think I met you there first, and then all of a sudden I saw you at the door. At the Sunset.
Was it on one of the Best Of shows in La Jolla, or was it a weekend?
It was a weekend. I think.
Oh, you did a weekend with someone?
I was either opening for Schubert or
Love Schubert
or Darren Carter. Does that any of that
the
sound
party
familiar?
Starter?
Does that sound familiar at all?
Yeah, I don't know. It probably was Darren Carter.
Maybe because I remember I met you there, and then when you came down, I was like, oh shit, dude! Like, what are you doing here? And you're like, oh, I fucking transferred.
No, I didn't transfer though.
No.
No, I still had to showcase.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was persistent with Adam too. Persistent enough.
So did you move here and then showcase?
Because
that seemed pretty instant.
Yeah, but I was ready. I had spent 3.5 years working at the sister club and pounding together like minutes and minutes and minutes of material. So I could go up and do well in a good crowd with at least. And he saw me go up like when I was still working in La Jolla. I drove up back when it was shitty. He had just taken over. There was like 6 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I did potluck. And that was back when they threw La Jolla people up on pot. Like, they don't do that anymore. Mm. And I went up and I did my TSA bit and like my railroad joke. Flipped that. I did the railroad, then the TSA. And like, he chuckled in the back. And it was just him and 6 other people. And the 6 people like loved, like they came up to me afterwards and were like, oh, that's fine. And then I did basically the same 2 jokes like a year later when I moved here. Because I knew they would work. And it was like packed now. And I'm like, what the fuck? Potluck is never packed. And you know, it's sold out now all the time. And I mean, it's a free show. When I say sold out, there's people in the seats.
It packs in there now.
And it was really, I did really well. Brenton Biddlecombe was nice enough to, he's the sweetest guy ever.
Yeah, he's really cool too.
And he was nice enough to put me up because he just knows me and he likes my comedy. And, I did the same 2 jokes, and then I went up to Adam and I was like, hey man, and plus when you work at the other comedy store and stuff, the people know you here at this one, so you have the inside track on what's going on. And I knew Jerron was getting ready to quit, and they were going to hire Stephen Fury.
Yeah.
And I knew that Stuart Thompson was wanting less hours and was like on his way out.
Right.
And I just went up to him.
He's completely out now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Been out for a while.
Yeah.
And I went up to Adam and told him all this stuff. And I do the best Adam impression, by the way, so just you're about to have your minds blown in a minute. And I don't know if you'll know it at all, but hopefully you'll just laugh at the thing. And I go up and I just was like, he saw me crush, so I just went straight up to him and was like, and as a Midwesterner, I don't know if this is the same with the East Coast, but like, it's hard to ask for things. And it's hard enough for most people, but like, as a Midwesterner, you're so polite.
Yeah.
Like, I had to muster up so much balls to just beeline it towards him and ask him, because I know he gets inundated with requests all the time. So I go, hey, Adam, name's Isaac. I know you've seen me before. I know you guys are probably looking for another door guy because Jerron's quitting and Stuart's about to quit. So I'm available. And he just goes like, yeah, man, whatever.
Oh, my God. And I just go. Just like...
Yeah, man, whatever. It's I'll be around, man. And anyway, so I just go like stand like 5 feet to the right of him, like in the wings, and I just had my arms folded leaning on the wall, like, fuck, man, like, damn it. oh, well, I moved to Hollywood. This is what happens. You get rejected. And I was just trying to be like positive. And there is something to be said about positive energy, like affecting things. Cause it, and it's weird because I wasn't like that until I moved here. And everyone's like, your vibe is just, it's so open and free. And that's why I knew I'd be friends with you. And then you never talked to that person for real. Yeah. And like, but there is something to be said about that. Cause I, when I went over in the corner, I was just like, fuck it, man. And then I just was like, you know what? Whatever. It's cool. And as soon as I had that thought, I feel a tap on my shoulder and I turned to the left and Adam had his card out and he just goes, you know what, man, here, just take this and just like shoot me an email and we'll see what we can do. And I was like, fucking okay.
Nice.
Then I shot him an email. He never responded. And then the next, like 2 days later, the general manager at the time of the Comedy Store, Eric Anderson, he's now the VP of like communications or something. He emailed me and was like, your first day is Tuesday. Come in, get a shirt and da-da-da. And I was like, fucking A.
And were you already living here? Or still living in La Jolla?
I had just moved here like 2 months prior.
Perfect.
Hitting mics, doing all the other shit, yeah, just starting over, you know?
Like so, like literally like 1 week you're in La Jolla and then I was just like, whoa, like you're here now.
Or, yeah, that's so funny.
That's kind of, or at least that's how it seemed for me.
I go back down for stage time sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, because it's still hard to get stage time, like, you know, because you're nobody when you move here.
You still know anybody down there?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you go stay there?
Yeah. That's where I started comedy, so like I have friends in like North County that I stay with. That's like, those are the friends I stay with to get into like a family vibe. You know, like when you're just around the craziness of the city too much and you're like, I just want to hang out with like a normal ass family.
Mm-hmm.
And where I can just be kind of quiet and just watch football with people and just yell at the screen and like eat turkey and just like play with their kid or whatever. Like, you know, and it's funny because my buddy out there, his name is Coleco. That's his actual name.
That's spelled awesome like name.
Spelled like ColecoVision.
That's cool.
And his cousin's name is Atari.
That's cool.
So, and they were both named by their grandmother. So
that's funny.
Though I don't know what that tells you about their family and how much they love.
What made you go from Indiana to San Diego?
Music. I like got a degree in neuroscience, and I worked in and I triple minored in psychology, biology, and German. Humble brag. And I decided that I wanted to do music, and I've been doing music for years, and I just was like, I got to take my shot. I just didn't want to major in it because then it felt like wasting some. But it's like, I'm not using my fucking neuroscience degree anyways either. I did use it for a while when I started comedy, so I can't shit on it. I speak a little bit of German. It's way bad compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
But I used to be like almost fluent. Find that useful?
Yeah, because where are you going to use it?
I know, right? When fucking the next Hitler comes into power and then I'm like, oh, it's okay. I can understand. I can understand this man. Please, sir.
Try our marijuana and everything's going to be okay.
Wir können das nicht machen, okay? So, bitte, können wir gehen? And then
when you speak German, do you have to have like a little accent all of a sudden? Is that how?
No, but it's just when I do the accent itself, I do it up here. And then I'm like, well, if I switch to German, I might as well do it up here also. Because then it's weird to just go into this voice. Do you use that in your act? The German voice?
Yeah.
Sometimes. I should have. The guy who like got first place in the whole competition had like a long German bit where he did the accent. And I was like, dude, I was watching him do it. Like, it's clear when someone just knows they can do something and then needs to put it in a bit. He was also a good writer, but it was just like, he was like, I can do a German accent, so therefore I must put it in. It's like when Dat Fan does his mom. Like, he only does it now because he needs a reason to do it.
Yeah, that's what you gotta see. And fucking Joe Coy. I love Joe Coy. I'm not talking shit about Joe Coy. Right. But like, he's always got to do the mom accent now.
Yeah.
He's always got to do a bit about his mom.
I only do one joke where I do my mom's voice. And it's not even just for... It's kind of for comedic effect, but it's also... I don't know. No, it's 100% for comedic effect only. Because the joke is funny and I don't need the accent, but it's also...
It's for you.
Funnier with the accent.
It's partially for you.
I guess. But it's a true when it's a true thing that happens, it lets the crowd into your world more, so I get that. But yeah, the German accent, I do it in one joke where I talk about my Uncle Jack. I haven't done this joke in forever because I haven't figured out how to trim the setup. Mm-hmm. The setup is too long for what the payoff is. Because the payoff's just one punchline and like three tags. But it just takes forever to get there. It was about my Uncle Jack in New York City. We were hanging out. I hadn't seen him in a while. And it was one of those jokes about how realizing German, you say something in a German accent in English, it's always going to sound like fucked up like three sentences in. It's just, no matter what you're saying. And it's kind of like an old premise, but the specific thing my grandfather said was, or great uncle, I should say, said was so funny and specific to what happened that I just was like, it has to be a joke. And so we were talking, and the on the street corner, and the thing changed from the hand to the walking guy. Okay. So you walk across the street. And the way he said it was he looked up and he goes, "Oh, the white man has appeared. It is our time now." So I just go across the street. And I was like, Jesus. And so the whole stuff I added to the joke was like, I just like waited and let him go. I was like, "It's your time, uncle. I'm going to hang back a little bit. My time is back here on this side of the street." And then the whole rest of the day was me trying to not like make social faux pas. He'd be like, "Where do we go?" And I'm like, "I think we go up here and we take a Third Reich. I mean, right. That's my bad." I'm just, sorry. Anyways, I heard you guys got a pet gerbils. Fucking, I'm all over the place. And yeah.
What's your family's background?
I'm Chinese on my mom's side. And then German, Irish, Polish, I think Scandinavian, Swedish. A bunch of white shit on my dad's side, gotcha. Basically. Basically, all the people that came over to Boston, mm-hmm. to New England when they started. Kevin is half me. Yeah, no, I'm half Kevin.
We're cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to Thanksgiving together.
Cousins from another muzzins. That's not means. A word.
I see the resemblance.
That's just because he's not
the stoned. White man came.
The way that he holds the Jack Daniels bottle is very Irish.
Yeah.
By the neck, just ready to
You mean upside down, never letting go.
Yeah.
So, Isaac, earlier before you got here, Kevin and I were talking about making moves, like big moves far away from home. I didn't know you were from Indiana. I knew that you moved from, you know, the La Jolla to here, and you did that move.
Yeah.
And then I guess you moved from Indiana to San Diego originally for music first, and then started stand-up. So we were talking about just like how tough it is. I mean, the entertainment industry is tough alone, as you know, as it is. And then what about like how tough is it when you're fucking moving away? Like, what was those first few years like? Was it a huge struggle?
It's weird because I'm also an only child, and my closest extended family was 300 miles away in Michigan. And so I didn't get to see any of my family a lot. And I looked like this in Indiana. So I didn't exactly have like a lot of friends. And it was, for those of you out there, Indiana is a very white place.
Yeah.
And I look like Keanu Reeves, from? But more Asian. Yeah. Yeah, Gaffigan's from Indianapolis.
Sorry.
So yeah, picture Jim Gaffigan. That's Indiana.
Yeah.
So I just like, I had always had, I was really close to my parents. I still am. I had a really good support system with them, but it was like, they were really worried about how I was going to do on my own. And they still will I can mainly, you know, do things on my own, but occasionally, like, you know how this business is. Like, once I stopped doing the science work and like started trying to do this, it's like occasionally I'd still need some help from them, like a few bucks here and there, or like they'd fly out to like help me. So like my parents are so cool. They would fly out. My dad would fly out specifically to help me like move or something. Cause they're like retired now and like
they're
rich.
Still married?
And so, yeah, they're still married.
That's cool.
And, they fought all the time and they still do. I went back this past week and like, everybody's got their family shit. I get that. But man, when you hear like a white guy and a Chinese woman just fighting all the time, dude, it's become, I used to have this bit that it's like everybody else does now. It's like, not that they stole it. It's a premise that everybody does now where it's just like, the longer you're with a person of a different race, the more you become racist against that person's race. And mine was like marriage. Like marriage is, that's when like my dad used to have a thing for Asian women. And now my mom will do shit and he's like, "Fuck all Asian women. Like they suck." And it's like, my dad has texted me before. I'll literally just get a text randomly, unsolicited. The last one I set, the timestamp on the last one was like the day before. And I just get a random text from my dad, pull it out, look at it. It's just like, at karaoke with your mom and five other Chinese women. Shoot me. Like, just out of nowhere.
Dude, that's like already me now because my wife is Russian. And
And
don't get me wrong, her family's great and she's great, but like occasionally I'll be at like a all Russian nightclub or bar and it's just like that music only, and that's how I feel. I'm like already your dad, like ready to fucking taken out.
Yeah. And then when she's at your shit, she's like, oh, white people. Well, my mom's and my dad, she's like, oh, white people.
Oh, really?
Like, not really, but just like just the way that they do things. So let me, I don't know if this will be interesting.
Does your mom have an accent?
Yeah, slightly. Okay. It got better and now it's getting worse the older she gets. Cause she's trying to like, she's like upset. She's not as in touch with her roots as she used to be and all this and that. But, I don't know. This is definitely interesting. I don't know if it'll be funny, but like, there's a clear difference in like the Midwestern white, like American, just like white family lifestyle, that culture, and then like the Chinese culture. I mean, that's obvious. There's differences, but the way when I grow up watching them, it's very interesting. That's why I'm so like, that's why I'm a comic. Because we're all comics because we're fucked up for whatever reason or another. There's something that made us like have some pain that we need to talk about and make fun out of. And mine was just like, I can never reconcile the dichotomy of like the juxtaposition of these two cultures and how different they are. So like sometimes I do things where I'm like, that's not normally me. And I'm like, well, it kind of is. It is now. And then like a few months. So like example, like hugging. You know how people will be like, Oh, this guy, just watch out, he's a hugger.
Okay.
You know what I mean? This guy, he's not a hugger, so just shake his hand. You know what I mean? Like, there's those families, and like, I never know what to do, and sometimes indecisiveness is more awkward than doing the thing that they don't want. So like, I'll go up to a chick and be like, hey, how's it going? And she'll just be like kind of like this, and then I'll be like, go in and be like, I'll go in and hug her, but then I'll like kind of back off, but then do it anyways, and she's like, oh, okay, I guess we're hugging, and I'm like, if I would just have confidently hugged her, she'd have been like, oh, this guy's a hugger. And he's a hugger. But that's my dad's side of the family. They're all about hugging. They're like, come on, everybody hugs. My mom's side of the family, when they hug each other, when they try and hug each other, I should say, it looks like you're just taking two like fans and just like smashing them together while they're on. It's just they don't know how to do it right. Their limbs are all in the wrong spots and like, It's weird. Like they just don't know how to.
They don't got to hug it in China.
They don't know.
They bow.
Their parents didn't know. No, that's Japanese. You racist. Okay. But they fucking Boston over here.
Wait, but Chinese people don't bow.
I think before they fight in Taekwondo, that's really when they do it. I say they all the time too. See, that's what I mean. Like, what am I supposed to say? I say they. I'm like, I am that sort of, but like. Yeah, so that's the juxtaposition always gets me, because sometimes I find myself doing things and saying things where I'm like, that is definitely part of the difference. This the opposite. But on the flip side, even though my mom's family has a lot of trouble expressing love, like they just don't know how to express the emotion of love that well because they never were taught that. My dad's side family totally was taught that, but they don't have the same like rigid, disciplined values that Chinese people instill in their kids. So a lot of my dad's siblings fucked up their lives, or like they have like eight that's a lot. They'll have like three kids but like dropped out of college and like just made bad decisions in that, where it's like not a single person of my mom's siblings made a bad financial choice or career choice.
That's interesting.
I say bad in terms of not like that what we're doing is bad as comedians or entertainers, whatever, bad as in like something consistent or inconsistent. So like they all chose something. We're like, oh, this, that. I think her younger brother got into the arts as well, but he also teaches and like, you know, maintains his salary. And they all married people that had also consistent jobs.
There's a lot more discipline in other countries.
In general, yeah.
In general, they are raised with more discipline. I'd say especially China, right?
Well, yeah, I think they're number one in education still.
Do you feel like your dad is more of a supportive than your mom? More because like he knows how to show affection maybe a little bit more.
I think they're both equally as supportive, and I think my dad is more understanding.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like someone can support your dreams and not know what the fuck it is that how why they're doing it or yeah. what yeah. they just support it because you're their kid. So like my mom will go from like weeping to my father, like, why is our son choosing to do this? He had his whole life, da da da. And then 5 hours later, she's calling up clubs trying to get me gigs in her area.
Really?
Like, yeah, like she's like, my son's a comedian and here's his website and da da da. And like,
wow.
Like she just, it, I mean.
Does she ever get you any gigs?
No. No. But.
Because but when you show great. Up, you're going to be the guy whose mom called.
Exactly. They like, all, they always ask me, like, can we do it? And I'm like, guys, I'd prefer if you not because do you yeah. realize how that's going to come off?
Hey, I'm on the show tonight. What's your name? Isaac. I don't think I have my mom yeah. called. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. yeah, yeah. yeah.
That's like your that's like when you're in school and your teacher recommends you to be friends with some other kids. Yeah. You're like, dude, no, let my friend recommend me as a friend. Why the fuck are you doing it, man? You're an authoritative figure in a weird way to these people and me. So,
you know, I don't know if you know this. This is before you moved here that I used to work at the Haha Comedy Club and I ran it
yeah,
for a few years.
I need to go back there again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to do more yeah. spots at clubs in town, like get in more clubs.
Right,
and stuff.
Yeah. No, I do it like once a month now, but long time ago, they were in the old location. They had moved. The new one is different now.
Yeah.
So they had moved. And so anyway, long story short, I ran that club for a long time. I have had mothers call me. I've had comics mothers call me.
Oh,
to book them?
To help their son out.
And how does that come off to you yeah. when you're like...
Okay, but you have to do 5 minutes too.
That's funny.
I discovered I'm way less of a dick if you have your mom call me. Because right. if you just come up to me and you're like, oh, bro, I just moved here from fucking Indiana. Right.
That's funny.
And I'm going to be a star. Because that happens, bro.
Which is exactly what I said.
They all go, I'm going to be a star, so you got to put me on your stage. Like, and the fact that they're so like confident bothers you, so you just want to be like, fuck, bro.
Well,
like, this is like... Take this seriously. So this is a real deal.
It
when
bothers
moms
you.
Moms call me. I would like take the time to explain to them like how it works. Well, it doesn't really work that way. You know what I mean?
See, but that you're also a nice guy. So that's like a lot of people probably wouldn't be like that. They'd be like, yeah, this doesn't work that way. So please don't call
yeah.
and do this. Like,
yeah.
But that I wouldn't blame them for doing that because moms, like I don't blame either party because moms just, they just want to support. They just yeah. want to help. They want to nurture.
Okay. So. During the week, sometimes back in the day in the old Haha, they would do a lot of bringer shows. And this guy had he was booked on the show. I didn't book him. It wasn't even my bringer show. Like, they outsourced it to whoever's night it was. And the guy's mom called me, and she was like, oh, this comic's booked there tonight. I didn't know who the kid was. And I had to, like, look to see who was in the lineup that night. And I was like, okay, yeah, yeah, he's in the lineup tonight. And she was like, he can't bring anyone. She's like, he doesn't know anyone there, and you're not going to let him go on. Like, he probably was bitching to his mom, like, I'm not going to get up tonight because I didn't bring anybody, so they won't put me on.
Right.
And so she called me and said, like, can I give you my credit card number, and I'll buy 4 tickets.
Oh, my God.
And she's like,
that sounds like something my mom would do, yeah.
And she goes, and give them away.
Oh, my God. That sounds like something. But that's a great mother.
That's a great mom. That's a great mom.
But it is a way to also. Here's the thing about that moms don't understand. It's a great move as a mother, seen by everyone else. But the person you're doing it for feels such shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're making your kid feel actually worse when you do that as a mother, even though you're trying so hard to be a good mother.
But you know what? I put the kid up that night, and I told her, like, don't worry about it. I'll just
and that kid was Louis C.K., and now he is the most famous comedian on the planet. So much so that he can jerk off in front of anyone he wants and not get away with it.
That kid was Aziz Ansari, so I apologize, everyone.
That kid was Harvey Weinstein. He chose a different direction with
his
career.
How old do you think I am?
All right, that kid was Gerard Carmichael.
Oh, man, funny. But what was harder, like adjusting as a comic to your new environment, or surviving on your own, or a musician, like, or
the loneliness, yeah. I think. And here's the thing: is like, as an only child, I'm actually kind of used to being.
But they were
lonely.
Both lonely. Like, I mean, like, what was like the differences of like moving out from Indiana?
Well, I just didn't know anybody. Yeah. I liked the weather way better. I'm never going back to that other weather again, dude. I don't care how much I hate LA. Like, I'm not going back to that weather ever again. I hate the cold. I was just in Seattle for a week. Like I said, I fucking hate it every time I was outside. So not every time, because like walking around Pike Place Market is cool.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
it's just like you got your bundled up with your scarf and your gay shit.
Yeah.
And no,
you got the first Starbucks ever.
Yeah, I went to some other coffee shop because fuck Starbucks. But
yeah,
unless you want to sponsor my podcast, then. but no, I just it was the loneliness was just more from like I had like no game when I first moved to San Diego. Oh, and by the way, a lot of it was because I kind of have abandonment issues, but none of them have to do with my parents. They all have to do with like friends and girlfriends and stuff. Like I went. Like when I moved to San Diego, I moved there to be with this band. And they were like, well, we want someone that will move in with us. We're moving into a house together. And like I met them and we got along and I was living with some other people at the time. And then I moved in with the band. And we were all young. We were in like 22, 23 years old. I think I was the oldest at second oldest at 22. And we started playing a couple gigs locally and like people loved us. They were like, holy shit, who's this band? We opened for this band called Mower. That was like big in the 90s and they'd opened for Metallica in the 90s and stuff. And they were like, as we were unloading our gear off, they were loading their gear on. And they were like, yo, you guys are fucking rad.
Nice,
and we're just
nice.
Like, oh, cool, whatever. And they reached out to me specifically to, be in their band, but they were like, we already have a drummer. You're a fucking rad drummer. We already have one, but our percussion player bailed and da da da. And I go, oh, you know, I can also sing. And they were like, oh, well, we need people to fill out certain harmonies and stuff, too. So I became, in that band, I became their all-purpose, like, it wasn't Mower. They switched their name to play a different style, but try and keep the same logo and fans and stuff. They called themselves Slower. That's hilarious. And they would do, like, jazz rock versions of their metal songs. Oh, so it was okay. Actually kind of cool. Stand-up bass and all that shit. And I became their sort of auxiliary guy. They needed rhythm guitar. I'd play rhythm guitar. They needed the tambourines with the bongos. I'm doing that shit too. Bongo solo, got that covered. Like backup vocals, got me a mic, everything else. So like, I just became the all-purpose guy.
How long did you do that for?
Two, 3 years, wow. Something like that. Yeah. And when I no longer than that, goddamn, like 3-4 years. And when I did that, I got like before I played my first gig with them. I was just like playing video games with one of my buddies, well, the singer of the band I was in at the time. And I'd only been in San Diego for 9 months. So like I said, longest I'd ever been away from home, living somewhere else, 9 months. That wasn't like Bloomington, Indiana, which was where I went to college. It's like an hour and a half away. That doesn't even count. And I was playing video games with him. And all of a sudden he just like hits pause and like turns to me. Like we argued about something philosophical, dumb shit, but it was like whatever. And he just pauses and he looks at me and goes, man, I'm sorry, but I just got to say, you're out of the house. You're out of the band. And I was just like, what? Huh. I was like, I thought we were about to do some shit. We just built like a studio together. And I knew that. And here's the thing. The four of them, other guys in the band, had known each other since like fucking they were kids.
Yeah, they're original band members.
And I was the one odd guy out.
Yeah, the add-on.
Yeah, and I just didn't like... My personality meshed with them in a lot of ways, and then it didn't in a lot of other ways. And also, I was more of an asshole back then. I'll give them that for sure.
So what did they tell you why?
They just said, they were like, oh, you're too much of a, just like, you're just too much of a dick. But and that was like, yeah. And I think that was their sort of like harsh way of saying, like, you're too much of like a guy who shares his opinions about things, and which I did. And also, I think, and I talked to Slower about this, and they agreed with me. They were like, they had some record label guy, some guy who knew someone for some record label. I don't even fucking know that like recorded Guns N' Roses and some shit. And one of my buddies was a guy who was a friend of the band's, right? Was talking to him, another guy who knew the other members since like they were kids, and he happened to be talking to a guy who. And the guy was like, oh, let me see this video of your band. And he played him some clips from like songs they had recorded, like a 3-song thing they did with their old drummer. And then
the people next door.
Oh shit. Sounds like someone's about to, it's like trying to come in and murder us in a horror film.
It's the garage.
Kevin always thinks that too, that someone's opening the garage.
Well, and I saw him super stoned, so it just was like, do we need to, and I just saw a horror film, so I'm like, do we need to fucking run out? So what was I saying? Speaking of stone, the guy was like, oh, this is cool. It's your old drummer, but let me see the video of this new guy. And the guy was like, oh, we happen to have one, but it was like a shitty cell phone clip someone had done at like a live bar. Okay. It was 30 seconds, and you see me playing and stuff. but you can't really like hear shit. You know what I mean? It's like coming through phone speakers. And the guy was like, I don't like this drummer. He's too busy. And I was just like, and when they told me that, it like broke my heart because I prided myself on my drumming. And I was just like, everything else in music was secondary. It's singing, guitar and stuff. Like it was all well and good. It's a good skills to have. But when I heard that that's what they said, and then suddenly they kicked me out of the band like a week later, like that's not a coincidence. You know what I mean? So I think this guy blew sunshine up their ass. And guess what happened with that guy? Nothing. Zero things happened. And I went to a better band. So it just was.
Are you still in a band?
No. I mean, I played in a band with Dino Stamatopoulos, the guy who created Moral Oral and wrote on Conan and stuff when it first started. And it was weird. We did like a Halloween show. He wrote a bunch of these original Halloween songs. And I played bass on that one. And I was super drunk when we did it. It was so much fun. And, but yeah, so 9 months, it was just the loneliness. That's really the only thing that kind of killed me. And also, relationships is like, I'm learning something now as a comedian who's like young and unattached to anything else but comedy and trying to live in this city. I'm like, I just shouldn't be dating. Nikki Glaser told me that after my divorce. She was like, you got divorced? I was like, yeah. And she goes, she was like super nice. She told me to have a seat, like patted the seat next to her and was like, have a seat. And I was just in the belly room. And she goes, so what happened? And I kind of gave her the Cliff Notes version because she was going to go on stage in like 15 minutes. I didn't want to. It's Nikki Glaser, right? I don't want to, you know, fuck with her. And so, I mean, I'm sure she'd have been fine, but I just wanted to be nice. And she's famous. I'm not. I wanted to give her the short version. She's being nice to me. So I did. Talked about how my ex-wife was just hiding a lot of issues that were whatever. And she basically goes, listen, you need to, like, succeed in this first and then start dating. Like, don't date. You need to be selfish. Like, it sucks to say, she was basically like, it sucks to say, but you have to be selfish to get to where I am or where, like, these other people that you respect and admire are. You just have to. And people are going to fucking hate that you're being selfish, but what other way is there to do it? And if you're in a relationship, you're giving some of yourself to someone else, so you can't be selfish enough to, like, really succeed. And the more she said that, the more I was like, God, it sounds shitty. But it's 100% correct. It's not that shitty, really.
I'm that way with some things. I mean, there's some people that can just get away with it. You know what I mean? If you have to, you have to have that like good balance of both worlds.
Yeah, you gotta be still nice. But
then there's some people that they're just not meant to create that balance, so they need to focus their energy where it needs to be. And then, but I'm still that way with certain things too. Like when it comes to like certain events, I'm like, you have to be selfish. Exactly right. Like mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like I'm, just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have time for this regular shit that regular people go do. And it sounds like a dick, but I don't have time for that.
Dude, the amount of like time I've invested in relationships, I'm like, it's not a total waste of time because you still learn a lot when you go through a shitty relationship. You know what I mean? Or something that ends shitty. Like, you still learn a lot about, like, okay, this is what I want and don't want
in life.
How long
were you married for? Wasn't it, like, super quick? No, it was,
like, 6 months. Right. We were together for a year and a half total. And it was just really, like, people will blame her and say it was her idea, which it was. But I was also, like, very much on board before she even said it. I was like, oh, I think I could see myself marrying this chick.
Hey, it took and then two, she, bro. Like,
huh?
It took two, bro.
Takes two to tango.
Yeah.
Is what I always say to myself in the mirror before I go fucking decide whether or not I'm going to jump off of... Anyways, I'm just kidding. I'm not that
I'm
going to
read some
person.
Shout-outs here, and then there's one more thing I want to ask you about.
Sorry if I'm talking a lot, by the way. I'm like super stoned.
But then we'll get out of here because we're losing Kevin to the super stoned universe.
I've just been so high just listening. I'm the first person that gets to listen to this podcast. I was just sitting there just like watching like, whoa.
Do you normally talk more during this?
Yes.
Yeah. I just been like really
I feel
high.
Like such a dick now.
No.
No, he does. But
I was just
he's
like
super
sitting
high.
Back listening. I'm enjoying the stories. I want more stories.
But, oh, you're enjoying it?
But you got to remember, we don't usually do better. Two podcasts in one night, and we did record one before you got here. And got stoned on that one, too.
So I have, like, all the energy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you're, like, leaning against your mic, resting.
I was hoping that you're just going to
This is always my energy level, though. Like, okay. I'm always trying to, like, I just want to.
I just, 10 minutes in, I was like, I'm going to be talking too much. I could get the vibe, yeah. But then I was like, oh, I didn't think about that. You guys did a podcast before this.
All right, let me do a couple. Let me do some shout outs here. David Space.
Hey, David.
Abe Push.
Hey, Abe.
My dude, Will Nip.
Will Nip, thanks for listening.
Mish the Dish.
Mish
can the I, Dish. Can I do like what you're doing? Sure. And repeat the names, but do them in like R&B Boys to Men style?
You do it.
All right, I only have one left, so this is your big shot. Right, you better ready? Not fuck it up. Rose J.
Rose J.
All right.
There we go. Yeah.
Sorry, everyone who didn't get that.
Yes.
They all got stuck with me.
So, again, before we hit record on the podcast, you were talking about...
You haven't hit record yet?
No. I mean...
But it's like, before we hit record...
This was the practice.
No, I said before we hit record...
I know, but that's the joke, Augustino. Oh, okay.
I get the joke.
I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
No.
I need another shot of whiskey.
Go ahead. What was I just saying? Yeah, so we were talking about... you were talking about Steve Fury, right? And mm-hmm. you're saying that you appreciate his hustle so much, and then you had mentioned that you just quit a day job.
Yeah.
So you had a day job in addition to being to working at the store.
Mm-hmm.
What was the day job?
I worked as a life coach for adults with mental and physical disabilities, developmental and physical disabilities. I'm very proud of the work I did there, especially with my client. I think I can say his name now because technically I'm not working there. Thomas. And Thomas, if you're out there, I love you. I know there's some stuff I can't say. He has autism, but he's got some other stuff too, but I was there for like 2.5 years, and man, like, it's like watching a kid grow. Cause he was 20 when I started taking care of him. Now he's 22 and he loves Disney. And dude, I know as soon as like I'm far enough removed from the job, I'm going to get so much material out of it. But sometimes you're too deep in it. Like when you're in a relationship, you can't write the jokes as mm. much when you're in it.
I do.
Well, but you've been in it long enough time to where it's like it's in stages.
But he's not going to get divorced just so he can write a joke.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's what I'd do. I got a decent joke out of this last breakup. So
so that job would take a lot of your time. So what time would you get off work usually doing that?
Well, here's the thing.
And then how many days of work did you week?
How many days of work did I week?
Yeah.
Dude, I weeked all the time. Let's see. I worked Monday through Friday at first. And it was like 9 to 2:45, but it's in Santa Monica and I live in West Hollywood. So those hours are like, that's an hour, it's rush hour both ways. Mm-hmm. So it's an hour there and it's an hour back.
And then what time did you have to be at the store?
And then I'd have to be at the store sometimes. Earliest would be like 6:30 or 6:45.
So
like
it was just sometimes just going right to
home. See if I could nap for an hour and then go to the store. Cause the store, I got to work sometimes until you could be working until 10:30, you could be working until 2 in the morning. Like,
right.
It's just.
And that had to take its toll on you, too, because at the store, you guys are working super, super late, and then you were getting up early for your day job.
Yes. And I've been doing that for the last 2.5 to 3 years, and I just had enough.
When did you quit the day job?
Like a week ago.
So you're committed in this. I mean, you got the comedy store job, but that's still being involved in comedy.
Yeah, and it's what was it that? Wage.
But at least you're around comedy. I mean, I'm sure that you can get by, and then you're gonna have that spare time to. That's the idea, is that you'll have that spare time to get more shows, and hopefully make money that way. And now you can do them. What's the final straw that just like gives you the courage to do that?
Was looking at people like Fury and people who didn't at the store who didn't have day jobs.
Why did you say that about Fury? Like, what was he?
Because he doesn't have a day job. He just works at the store, and he knew that he wanted to when he got here. And he's super funny, but the hustle on that guy, I don't even see it. That's how hard his hustle is. He knows like how to talk to people, famous or not. He knows how to like network, but also be himself, which is a very hard line to walk for anybody. And he just doesn't stop with comedy. Comedy is so ingrained in him that it's like he runs like 3 different shows and produces them with people. He does it right too. He's smart about it. I have no idea about this shit. I'm book smart. I could teach anybody about fucking
German
cells in German all day and which German neuroscientists were out there. But like Fury, like I ask him advice occasionally on like producing shows because I suck at it. And you produce shows. You know how crazy it can get.
I have.
And he was like, I did one of your shows. I had a great set on that show. I was somewhat, that was fun. That had fucking
which
main room
that?
Show.
Oh, in the main room? Cool,
yeah.
Cool.
I think you did one when I was running like that workout room in Reseda too, right? Didn't you come by and do that one?
I think so, probably.
At the bar, yeah.
Yeah. If it's a bar show, I've probably done it. but he, every time I saw on a flyer that Steven was producing a show, whether it be at the store or in Long Beach, whatever, it was always with another person who I didn't recognize as a comedian. And so I asked him about it. He was like, yeah, you got to like find people. He's like, as comedians, we're not really like producers. We don't do that, promote and produce well, just naturally. But he's like, so you get someone who can help you with that side of it. Like producing a show on your own is fucking hard. But if you're not in it for the money, you're doing it for the connections and the stage time and stuff. And he didn't really say this, but that's the connection I made in my head. It's like, if you're doing it for those reasons and not money, then yeah, get someone who knows how to do it. And so that they can help you, and then you don't have to like put so much work into doing that.
Because it takes a lot to produce a show, and you really want to focus most of your energy on actually performing, which is why you do it, is to get the stage time. And then when that's what you tell yourself, and then when the show comes, you're like all fucking worried about running a show that you're just like, fuck, I gotta just. Like, I did all the hard work so I can relax right now. Like, whoever's coming is coming.
Yeah.
You know, however many tickets are sold or sold. Like, right now, it's just the time to go on stage and fucking focus.
So. I hate that, man. I hate trying to get out of producer mode and into comedian mode and then back into producer mode.
It's good to team up with someone who has skills that you don't, and then they'll use your skills and then you use theirs. Or even if it is just two comics who have the same set of skills, I mean, it's great to team up with someone because at least you're sharing the work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to do now. Like, now that I have all this time, my buddy David Smalley, who... Do you mind if I talk about his podcast real quick on this one? Because maybe you could get some crossover to that, because his podcast is, like, big. I got no crossover on my... I'm great on his podcast, and he's great on mine, but it's not the same. It's like you talked about before you hit record about the market, like, knowing your market.
Yeah.
He told me straight up, he was like... I was like, why isn't it working? You have, like, 100,000 subscribers. It's called The Dogma Debate. And he debates religion with like other religious, with people who are religious, because he's not.
That's interesting.
Oh yeah, it's very interesting, but it also like makes me like it infuriates me sometimes. I have to turn it off, but not for for bad reasons, but just for like it's just like God, there's so many opinions. Some people have dumb opinions out there.
Yeah.
But he runs a show also called Dogma stand-up show. We got into stand-up. That's how I met him, and. I'm the first person he ever met that was raised atheist, like raised, or at least raised to not specifically be geared towards a certain religion, just raised to like believe whatever you want to believe. And he was just like, what's that like? Like he was like, you got to come on my podcast. I don't know what that even means to be raised non-religious. And so he's been running this Dogma show, and I'm like, look, but I know if you want to fill the seats and make the connections, like I know the famous people at the store, I can get you in. Like Jamie Kennedy just texted me back now. It was like, oh yeah, I might be able to headline. Just let me check my schedule real quick. And so I'm working with him now to produce the show, cause he knows how to produce shit and promote shit. And I don't. So I'm like, and now he's going to help me produce my show, which is either going to be at Sycamore Tavern or Belly Room.
Oh, cool.
Called the Comedy Carousel, by the way, out there, guys. Cause it's basically, it's like improv mixed with stand up. Where I have a stand-up go on. It's like set list, you know, where they just... Or stand-up on the spot where it's just like there's a topic displayed and you just riff on that
for a while.
Oh, that's
dope, dude. I love that shows like that.
Right. But it's that. The first comic does that for like two or three topics. Then whoever's like hosting in the back hits like a buzzer. The host will be in the back. Hits a buzzer and then another comedian joins them and grabs another mic, comes on stage, and then another thing pops up and they have to riff on that for like a minute or like do a scene. Like a quick scene about it for a minute.
That's going to be tough, but it's going to be cool.
I ran it in San Diego a couple of times, and I kind of worked out the kinks. Like, I kind of figured out how it should go. And then when that scene hits a climax, I, like, hit the thing again and give it up for the first guy. He waves whatever he or she waves, goes off stage, and now your improvised set from – and then there's another topic comes up, and that person who joined that first person starts – so it's nonstop comedy for, like, an hour, like 7 to 8 comics.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's why I call it the comedy carousel. It's just like one in, one out.
When do you think you're start doing that?
Hopefully next month.
Oh, great.
And I want to get bigger names on it because, like, again, I sucked at promoting. So when I ran it in San Diego, it just wasn't, I got maybe like 10, 15 people out. But everybody loved it. Everybody thought it was the shit. And the comics who did it had so much fun. I remember one of them, it was like a conversation. It was Derek Poston and someone else. And it was a combination of, it was like James Brown having a conversation with Eddie Vedder. Was like the thing they got, and it was just so funny because it was, you know, Eddie Vedder's and then James Brown, and they're just like talking back and forth.
Well, what's some social media so people can follow you when you start doing that show? You can
social media is at the Isaac Allen on Instagram, TheIsakAllen.
That's how I always spell it.
Yeah, because you're because you know what's right and wrong. Because I know you. Because you know the difference between right and wrong.
Twitter, what's the name at Isaac Allen. What's the name of your podcast where you have comics that play board games?
Yes. So I'm hopefully going to relaunch soon. But please go listen to the older episodes. And by older, I mean skip the first 15. That's another mistake I made, was not just logging good ones in first and then releasing them later. Because it took us a while to figure out the format. But listen to the last 20 episodes of Bored with Comics. It's B-O-A-R-D with comics. We play board games.
Keep doing it, dude. It's a cool concept.
It's a great, I mean, it's fun. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
When you start recording, I think you shouldn't take long breaks. Take it from me. I've been doing this podcast for like 3 years. I've taken breaks here and there, and then
it fucks
you
it up.
You can't.
You know what?
And it's a good idea, so just keep going.
You know what David told me? I appreciate that. So, cause that kind of helps me, cause I was getting lazy about it. David, the guy who does Dogma Debate, he told me two things matter most with podcasting if you want to be successful is, one, persistence.
Yeah.
Like, just don't stop doing it. Yeah. Just keep doing it. But two is consistency.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to release it once a week on this
you
day,
can't miss it, dude.
You have to do it every time. Like, you take a week off and it's listeners get out of the loop.
Yep.
And out of their habit. Totally. You've now taken yourself out of their habit. So I might have fucked it up by not doing one this past week, but I just don't. I'm so like.
But you can start again, and then you'll get in your rhythm.
Well, hopefully,
Kevin and I will come by and play some board games with you. Sounds fun.
Oh, absolutely. What game do you want to play,
bro? Ooh, I think we should do Cards Against Humanity.
I like that game.
Is it a pretty short game, like 45 minutes? Or is it longer than that?
I think you can go as long as you want with it, really.
Those are the best ones.
It's a card game with like different reactions and phrases and stuff.
I played it before, but the best games are the ones where you can end it whenever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, as on the podcast, you're just like, you're having fun shooting the shit and making fun of each other, accusing each other of cheating.
Yeah. I forget how many someone has to get to win. I guess it's until your hand is empty. Until you have no more answer cards left, but I mean, we can only just do like 5 cards or something,
right? We'll make it work because like the podcast format is like there's like an intro I do, just like reminding everybody to donate on Patreon and or subscribe and all that shit. I need to start doing video on a Twitch stream. I think that would be good for it.
Right? I gotta start doing video too. I think that's the missing thing.
But it's like a 5 to 10 minute interview portion at the beginning. And then like 5 minutes of explaining the rules, and then like 40 to 45 minutes of playing the game.
Perfect.
And then plugs. Like, it's a good format,
it's
right?
Perfect.
And I just need to. And it's always, dude, if you listen to it, the comics have so much fun when we play, especially Taboo or Catchphrase. That's two. We had one on Catchphrase where there was like a good 5 seconds of the podcast. We were all just crying, laughing. All you heard on the mics was just crying and laughing because it was a Jessica Wellington and Brian Simpson. And Brian was trying to, you can hear the timer like speeding up in the back. And Brian's trying to get Jessica to get Sinead O'Connor was the one. But you're not allowed to say any part of the name, obviously. And you're not allowed. So he was like trying to give her all these clues that were obvious clues. But Jessica was so fucking like just out of the loop. She didn't know. He's like, this is a woman who burned the Pope's photo on SNL. Like, how much more specific? You know who I'm talking about?
No.
At all? You don't know that? No. Shaved head was another clue he gave. Shaved head, musician, woman.
I have no idea.
Sinead O'Connor?
Yeah, exactly.
But that sounds fucking fun to listen to to listen to podcasts.
But the way he got her to guess was, it rhymes with Grenade Obamas. And she just goes, I can't do this. And the timer's just going, like, everyone's stressed. It's such a fun game. And then, like, she's at the last second, she said Sinead O'Connor right when he handed it to me. So we lost the point.
Oh.
And it was just like, see, you guys were invested in this and not even playing the game.
Dude, keep doing it. And now, right. Yeah, we'll come by and do it one time. Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. Isaac, thanks for coming by.
Dude, absolutely. I'm so glad I'm not going to Westside.
You can't. If you were here on a Wednesday, I'd say let's go hit a mic. Oh, there's a couple. There's one on Wednesday that I run here. But Tuesday isn't really too much around here in the Valley. But anyway, thanks for coming on. I want to say thanks for always being a cool guy at the store.
Oh, thanks, man.
Making me feel welcome from the first time I met you at La Jolla. You were cool and welcoming. Thanks, and then, man. And then when I came back, just always been solid. I appreciate it.
Same to you, man.
Thank you, Kevin, as always, for being
here. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
And,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Kev. Yeah, I'm back on Kev now.
And there we are. You can call me whatever you want.
If you're listening to this right now,
Snookums.
If you're listening to this right now, this comes out tonight, so you might be listening to this tomorrow morning, so it might be morning right now. So that means that tonight, Wednesday, I'm doing a gig with Steve Simone. It should be pretty fun in Santa Clarita.
Ooh, I love Steve.
Yeah, Steve's the man. He's awesome. He always throws me some stuff every now and then.
That guy is the guy who makes me feel awesome when
I feel
like shit.
Dude, he's such a good guy.
When I feel like
so funny too.
Him and I just went through this breakup like at the same time, and we just started talking about it at the back door, and we were like, I finally got the chance to like make him feel a little better because he does so much for making other people feel
he's
better.
Like one of my favorite comics to listen to dude's stories too. Anyway, yeah, so I'm doing some show with him. It's tonight, Wednesday. Check out my Instagram so you can see details on that. It's in Santa Clarita. Also, November 27th, I'm at Flappers in Burbank, and then I got some more dates coming up in December. I think that I might be I think I'm going to be in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona for New Year's Eve. All right, you guys.
Do you mind if I hit?
Thanks so much.
I forgot about my
– You have some
I have dates coming up. I have a lot of dates
ready.
Coming up, yeah. I've got La Jolla Comedy Store all weekend with Taylor Williamson Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, that's dope, dude.
Yeah, I think that's the 23rd or something like that. It's that Friday through Saturday of whatever that weekend is. I'm like trying to pull up all my dates. I met December 19th through the 22nd, Oklahoma City at the Looney Bin with Tim Gaither. At New Year's, the weekend after that, I'm at one of the other Looney Bins, I think Tulsa. And then I'm at Little Rock January 2nd through 5th, whatever that weekend is, with Eric Myers. I don't know who I'm with in Tulsa, to be honest with you, but I'm with Eric Myers. So all the Looney Bins except for the Wichita one. Like I'm doing the run through there.
Hilarious, bro! Fucking look at you, all your fucking day. To quit the day job and you watch them come pouring in.
Dude.
All right, you guys. Thank you, Isaac. Thanks, Kevin, and thank you guys for listening to the Homeschool Podcast. Don't forget about Masterclass. Click the link in the description, and don't forget about Blowfish. Go to 4hangovers.com. Use promo code HOME for 15% off, and we'll see you guys next time.
I'm sorry if I talk too much.
You to guide you.